Now, your host, Scott Walker.
This morning, we're talking a little bit about history, well, family history, and how you can be a part of Rutherford County with that family history. And so with us today, we have Kayla Howard, and she is with the Rutherford County Library System and the Historical Research Center. Kayla, I guess first, talk a little bit about what you do there at the library.
Hey, so really we focus on genealogy and local history. So a lot of what I do is doing genealogy research and local history for anyone that has like sends in a research request or helping patrons come in and help them do their family history and learn about their ancestors.
So what's the biggest question that people have when they come to you to find out, I guess, more about their family?
Where to start, really?
Yeah, where do you start?
What I say you go through is you start with what you know. So if you start with, say, your parents or your grandparents, and you start from there. And so you can see wills or census records. And so if you go back through census records, you can see everyone in the household listed, and you can see where they lived and who their neighbors were and all that stuff. And so that's where I usually suggest that they start.
It sounds like it would be pretty interesting, especially with the wills. I didn't even know you could look that stuff up.
Yeah. So being at the Rutherford County Archives, they have wills from 1804 and going up. It's really interesting to see if they had a will and what was in it.
How much more difficult is it if somebody in that family was adopted?
I have not had that come up yet, so I'm interested to see on how that would work as well.
Yeah, you probably will now. So if they were adopted, I guess that would throw in name changes and all that. So it would, I don't know, I guess it would branch out the family tree a little bit possibly.
Yes, yes it would.
So when doing that research, what is usually the easiest information to find right off the bat?
Easiest, obviously, census records. All the censuses exist except for the 1890 census. So usually those are the easiest things to find. And the current one right now that we can view online is 1950.
Okay, so that's the newest one?
Or, yes,
okay.
That's the current one that they've released.
What type of stuff is in that census report?
So they have names of all the members that are in the household. They have the ages, what they do for a living, their address, like a little bit of everything. And it changes throughout the years.
And right now, the big project is Rutherford County's First Families. What is that?
So as a program that I started last year, it is to commemorate our Rutherford County ancestors who were in the county at 1850 or prior. So the county formed in 1804. And we have census records that list every member of the household starting in 1850, but you can go beyond that. And so a lot of people, I've had several who have had ancestors that actually signed the petition for Rutherford County to be formed.
So, when
so that's
you,
exciting.
That's pretty cool. And when you first started this project, were you able to determine where some of these families worked and everything?
Yeah. So a lot of them, on especially the census, you can see, well, a lot of them, they say like farm laborer or housekeeper and stuff. So you kind of see like the family names and then sort of where they lived. So they owned a farm in that area.
Was farming the biggest thing that you saw?
So far that I've seen, yes.
And then have you come across any families that you found from the 1800s who still, that farm may be still in their family or the land is still in their family?
Oh, yes. We just had someone last week come in and the farm's still in their family. And so it is a bicentennial farm. And so they want to try to get it back before then as well.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's exciting.
It's got to be fascinating to, I mean, because you're learning about Rutherford County, the roots of Rutherford County.
Yes. And not coming from Rutherford County myself, it's exciting for me to learn about all the history of the county and the families that were here.
And what are some of the highlights so far?
I don't know. It's just
all of it put together is just
interesting. Yeah, it's just really exciting to for one, to see everyone come in and want be excited to do this and to learn about their family. And then
What about photos? Have you come across any photos?
So we've had a couple people send in photos with their applications, but not everyone has. But we look through some. If they come into the research center, we have some books, and they'll flip through the books and be like, "Oh, that's my great grandmother," and we're like, "Oh my goodness!"
So they actually recognize the folks.
Yes, and so it's a memorable moment for them and for me to be able to witness it.
So birth certificates, death certificates, you're able to see that as well.
Depending on when the person had passed away and when they were born, some of that is not available online, and the archives only has up to a certain year.
So in looking back to the 1800s, are there homes that were built back then that are still standing today in the same place?
Yes. I could not name one off the top of my head right now, but I guess there are.
Whenever somebody does come into the library and they say, you know, I want to be a part of the First Families, what do they need to do?
Really, they need to start seeing if they have an ancestor that was in the county. Because, you know, the county form taking bits and pieces from like Davidson County and Williamson County and other counties. And so see if they're ancestor was in Rutherford County during that time, and if they have trouble with that, I can help them, so we can kind of dig around and see where their ancestor was at.
Have you found any those who are part of a political setting, maybe state representatives, senators, things like that?
I have not yet, so we're still in the beginning stages, and we only have 25, I think, First Family files, so we're still starting. So
once this is all put together, what is the end goal here?
It will be probably years from now, but my dream, and I would love to be able to compile all of this information and stick it into some sort of book.
That would be cool. And then maybe online, do you think in the future somebody will be able to, or anybody will be able to go to it and just see all the different families that were here back in the 1800s and are still here?
Yeah. So as of right now, I try to keep an updated roster of our ancestor names that we've had on the RCLS website. And so people who visit our website, they can see the roster names of all the families that we've had so far. And then that is a perfect way for them to see if we have their family member, their ancestor on there.
Is this going to be put to a social media page as well?
We've marketed it on social media in the past. We'll always continue to market it to keep it in the public eye. So.
And once all the information is put together, this will kind of tell the story of Rutherford County in a lot of ways.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So it'll not just Rutherford County, but like the people in Rutherford County and, you know, how they lived and where they went. Because we've had a few who were in Rutherford County, but they moved away. They moved out of the state. So we have some from Texas and Kentucky. So it's really interesting to see where people migrated to.
Now, I know you said some people, you had one person come in and say, well, that's my great grandmother in that picture.
Yeah.
Are you taking a description down from that person as to what they remember growing up here?
No, but that would be interesting to do, yeah.
Has anybody told you some, fun facts about their family that kind of helped to shape the county?
Yes, so we've had a couple of people come in, and so everyone loves to talk about their family, and I love hearing all the stories and everything that they want to share with me about their family and what they've discovered. But it's been really interesting to see, like, how their story is, like, passed down from generations of this one ancestor who came to Rutherford County.
I would guess that stories change over time. People forget details of it, but maybe, you know, once you put all the stuff together for that family, they will remember some details that they didn't know about.
Oh, yes.
And again, today we have with us in studio Kayla Howard with the Rutherford County Library System, and we're talking about First Families of Rutherford County. I believe you said something coming up where people can learn more, or they just need to stop by the library or call?
Yeah, so they can stop by the library. We're at the Historical Research Center, which is located inside the Rutherford County Archives, or they can call me or email me. My email is hrc@rclstn.org.
And then once that family is, you know, officially listed as a first family, they're able to put all that information that they gather from the library, from you, together, and they can continue that journey of figuring out their family tree, I guess.
Yeah, so once they, because we have them fill out an application and ask them to provide the proof proving that each generation connected to the next generation. And so once they provided all of that, I form it all into a binder or a folder. And so we can have it at the Historical Research Center where other people can look at it, and then they can also come back and add to it if they learn something new.
So how in the world do you put the information that's needed for you to verify, yeah, they were a first family? How do you put that information together? What do you need?
So we need a primary source for each generation connection. So whether that be a census record, a death certificate, a will, something along those lines. And then you can use a secondary source, which be newspaper articles, like an obituary or a marriage notice, and then whatever books that we have in the library. So we have several family history books and different histories of the county that mention people, so they can use those as well.
So I guess an obituary, that would name a lot of people within that family.
It would, yes. So it just depends on if the person writing the obituary wanted to include everyone in that family.
How hard is it for you to go back and find obituaries from years past?
It depends, because not everyone has an obituary, but a lot of people, especially early, like mid-1900s, yes, it's fairly easy, because you can look it up on the, we have an access subscription to the Daily News Journal through newspapers.com. And so that allows us to see all the previous newspapers from the past.
And when somebody is working with you to be, you know, named as a first family, can they bring in things like old articles that they have had, or maybe of ancestors that were in the newspaper?
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll take anything that they want to provide to us, and we'll include that in their file.
And how hard is it to link it to them? I mean, whenever you're putting it together, you are able to take this this article and put it in their file. What do you do when you put it in their file? Is it online?
So the file itself is not online. But really what I do to try to verify everything, to make sure the connections are there, is I go through from point A, starting with them, to their ancestor, and I really try to go down that line of, yes, this person was in the census with this person, the ages match up, and so forth.
Now, it's interesting, because you said in the beginning that you're able to kind of go back and look at who, was it signed a petition to make Rutherford County, Rutherford County?
Mm-hmm.
And who wrote that? Who knows? Somebody did at some point.
Yes.
So when that was written, how many names were on there? I mean, you're able to go back and see that actual declaration, I guess.
Yes. So don't hold me to this, but, oh, goodness. There's at least probably more than 75 names on there. Definitely more than 75. So,
and the population of the county back then, I would guess it was probably under 2,000 people.
Yeah. So, and you know, we have county formed in 1804, and then you still had the county like changing, like the boundaries changing. So it was moving from like Williamson County, like I forget when, but like Eagleville was part of Williamson County for a time, and then it changed into Rutherford County. And so
So it's changed a lot.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't realize the boundaries had changed that much. So years and years ago, Eagleville, which is pretty far out there in Rutherford County.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right next to Williamson County, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
So when it changed, are you able to see those dates as well, and who petitioned for the increase in the size of Rutherford County? I guess you'd have to do a lot of deep research for that one.
Yeah, I have not, so.
And what library branch do people need to go to in order to be a part of this or to research their family?
So they can come to the Historical Research Center, which is inside the Rutherford County Archives. But all of our library branches for the Rutherford County Library System has access to Ancestry.com. We have a paid library edition subscription for it, so anyone who is in the library can access it. And then we also have access as an affiliate library with Family Search, and they can get on to newspapers.com and look at the D&J and other newspapers from the county.
Now, I know you said one of the families you've worked with, they're actually in Texas. So out-of-state families, they can also be a part of this. But how do they do that? Do they just call you on the phone? What do they do?
Most of it's been through email, and then just emailing back and forth trying to find that connection to Rutherford County and the person who moved away. And then once they've compiled all of that information, we ask that they mail all of their evidence and all of their proof and the application to us, because printing out every paper of proof that they provide would be a lot.
Now, because the population back then was so much smaller, what is the max number of people who you believe can possibly tie themselves to the first Rutherford County residents?
Oh my goodness. I don't even want to put a number on it. Our cutoff line is 1850. So
1850 would be the newest residents, I guess, who are part of that first, you know, big number of families here.
Yeah. And then others could have moved in after the county had already formed. But as long as they were here in 1850 or before 1850, they qualify for our first family.
And this is, I know you said it's going to take years. It's going to take a long time for sure.
Oh, yes.
Again, for those listening, the first step into, you know, seeing if your family was one of the first or proving your family was one of the first step is what?
Either email me, call me, or visit the Historical Research Center and we can talk about it. And I can kind of explain what it is that we're looking for and kind of go through the process with them to start it.
And then what are some other details or things that folks should know about or anything coming up that they should know about?
It's not anything new, but we're always taking and accepting yearbook donations. So if anyone has any of their old Rutherford County High School yearbooks and they don't know what to do with them, they can donate them to us and we will catalog them, put them on our shelves, and keep them.
I'm curious, what are some of the oldest yearbooks that we have here in Rutherford County?
Oh my goodness. So I...
And would I guess Central High School, would that probably be the school that has the oldest ones?
Yes. I'm trying to think what the oldest of Central is that we have. I know we have one from 1942. I want to say we probably have one from the 30s, but I'm not 100% sure on that. And I know I had a Rockville one from 1954, I think. So, yeah.
That's pretty cool. And I'm sure it's interesting to go back and look through some of those. And more than likely, the senior pictures and all of that, it's very similar to senior pictures today. Same, you know, tuxedos or suits or
yes.
Whatever.
Yes. So all that is primarily the same, but it's interesting to see how other things in yearbooks have changed throughout the years, and the style of the hair and the clothing and all of the other things. So,
and then the size of the yearbook, about the same size as they are today, or are they bigger?
Back then they were a lot smaller. So as the years progress on, they get bigger.
Of course, we have a lot more students today, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot more other information is added. So life as a high school student is added now more than it was then.
So they didn't have all those little side pictures and stuff in the yearbooks back then, I guess.
No, it was just mainly what you see with like clubs and sports activities.
And again, with us today, Kayla Howard, and she is part of the Rutherford County Library System and the Historical Research Center there. And folks can learn more about their family, research it, and go through the different lines, I guess, throughout their family by going to the library.
Yeah, and I have something for you.
Oh, cool.
I have your very own first family certificate.
Oh, so I'm official now.
You are.
That's awesome. So this is what other people would get. It'd be something like this.
Yes.
If they become, or if they go through the work to become a first family.
Yes.
Well, that's cool. And with that, you may have 100 of these in the near future, or 200 of them. Who knows, right?
Yes.
But the goal is to have as many as possible so that not only you can tell more of the story about the families of Rutherford County, but so that others can better understand it.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And again, this, who knows how long it's going to take.
Yeah.
But right now is the time where people can start doing the work to be a part of this.
Oh, yes. So, you know, I tell people, go ahead, take the application, start it. There is no deadline, so don't feel like you have to rush to get everything into me. Just whenever.
Again, that, you know, the paperwork, the application, the stuff you have to fill out.
Yeah.
How many pages of work are they filling out here?
So it's about 4 pages. The first page is just normal application stuff. So you have your name. We ask that you put your email address so I can get in contact with you, your ancestor's name. If you know where they came from before they were in Rutherford County, and where they settled in Rutherford County. So what part of the county did they live in? And then the second page is a lineage chart. So you go from yourself all the way to your ancestor, noting the births and death dates and when they married and who they married. And then the third page is just a family group sheet. So you can, it starts with your ancestor. It lists who their children were and when they were born. And so you kind of get a feel for who their children were. And then the last one is a source citation sheet. So where you write down for each generation what you provided.
That's really cool. And again, you can do this by contacting the library or sending you an email.
Yeah, and the application is also online through the library's website, and it is an editable PDF, so you can fill it out online as well.
Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Hey, thank you.
Right now, that time, 8:43, we're going to take a short break. We'll check on the news, and then we'll be right back.
Del Wamsley and the Wealth Cycle.
This is the Wealth Cycle that I've taught for 30 years. Buy one house, 10 houses, an apartment, 2 apartments, 820, 500 units, 1,000 units, 2,000, 5,000 units. And as you keep putting the money and the profits back in, you become one of those rich people, and much quicker than you'd even believe.
Learn Del's Wealth Cycle at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Use promo code 2023. Save 60%. Code 2023. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com.
Swing into summer with Friday Night Live in downtown Murfreesboro, June 7th.
Music City Swing will bring the beat with their 20-piece band, playing your big band favorites. This free event is proudly sponsored by Wilson Bacon Trust.
Don't miss out. June 7th, Friday night downtown is a chance to live it up.
Friday Night Live, your summer soundtrack.
Brought to you by Main Street Murfreesboro.
Shop small and support your local downtown businesses in 2024.
CBS News Brief. Hunter Biden and his stepmother, First Lady Jill Biden, have arrived at court in Delaware for the start of his federal gun case. CBS's Erica Brown from Wilmington.
Prosecutors say that he made false statements on a federal form about his drug use, and this trial comes after a plea agreement unraveled in federal court last year. Now, if convicted, Hunter Biden faces up to 25 years in prison.
Mexican voters have made history electing Claudia Sheinbaum as their next leader. Her foreign policy advisor, Ramon De La Fuente.
We're going to have a female president being essential part of the most dynamic and one of the most powerful markets in the world.
In Atlanta, repairs continue on several water mains that broke Friday, leaving city businesses and homes high and dry. Ian Groves isn't taking any chances.
We got a couple big pots on the stove, just boiling it, cooling it. Can't trust the city water right now.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Shopping for your DIY projects, odds are at the Habitat Restore.
We got it.
If you have a painting project going on, we have plenty of paint supplies. Come see us here at the Habitat Restore.
Find it at the Restore.
If you need batteries, come to the Restore.
We got it at the Habitat Restore.
850 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Murfreesboro.
Remember, we got it today at the Habitat Restore, but it may be gone tomorrow.
We got it, yeah.
Unemployment numbers and jobs available.
There's not a lot of people unemployed right now.
WGNS recently talked to Alex Jones with the City of Murfreesboro about employment and employment opportunities.
Alex Jones with the City of Murfreesboro, and a career fair is just around the corner. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, we're really excited. This is our third career fair that we're getting to host. It's on June 14th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the Civic Plaza. It is rain or shine, so if it rains, we'll be inside the City Hall Rotunda, but we'll have about 30 employers.
This is not just for the City of Murfreesboro. You've got 30 employers. That means jobs in a ton of different fields.
Mm-hmm. We have many different industries, banking, government, fast food, military, healthcare, airlines, you name it, we've got it. But it's a community event that we host every year. So it's not just for the City of Murfreesboro. We'll, of course, have some booths set up there for different departments like water, parks and rec, city general jobs. It's really to focus on what we can do for the community to help other employers. Lots of individuals that go to this career fair are able to find employment while they're there, which is really rewarding for us to be able to see.
It's great that the city is helping to put all this together, because I don't know that you find this kind of involvement in other areas.
That's something we're really passionate about. We have such a great location on the Civic Plaza. So for years, we've just been like, why not? We don't charge the employers a fee to come set up. We do a lot of promotion to try to get the attraction to fill these positions for these employers. It's just something we're really happy to do for the community.
So anyone who shows up on June 14th, they're going to find different tables and tents set up all around the Civic Plaza. They can sometimes be interviewed right there.
Yeah, you won't miss us. We will be out there, so long as it doesn't rain, of course. We'll be out there with tons of tents, tables, a good time. People can show up, and there will be some employers that will do on-site interviews. So I always tell everybody, for these kinds of events, make sure to bring a resume and some enthusiasm. Employers are looking for individuals who are excited to come to work. So that enthusiasm piece is really important.
What types of different careers are people going to see there?
For the City of Murfreesboro, right now we've got lots of parks and recreation positions available, part-time at some of our recreation facilities, like a facility attendant. Lifeguards are really in need right now. If you know anybody that wants to be a lifeguard, this is going to be the place to be. Southwest Airlines is coming, so they'll have different ramp agents that they're going to need filled. They generally have close to 100 vacancies. Some other employers like Yates are going to be in attendance as well, and they'll need some line technicians.
This is a great opportunity, it sounds like, for a big group of different ages.
All ages. That's the beauty about this. And with so many different industries, there's no way you can leave without finding a job.
Again, Alex Jones with us this morning from the City of Murfreesboro. And we're talking about the upcoming career fair that will be June 14th on the Murfreesboro Civic Plaza. And this all starts at 9 a.m.
9 a.m. Yep. So first thing in the morning, if you have an opportunity to come, we'd love to have you there. It'll end about 1 o'clock. And again, if it rains, we'll be set up in the City Hall Rotunda.
And again, this is something that's been going on for how many years now?
This is the third year. So we're really excited. We usually see between 70 to 100 job seekers. So we're hoping as the years go and people get word that we're doing this, that more people will come, because this is a great opportunity to really take advantage of so many employers from different industries.
What's some of the different feedback you've gotten from the employers?
Oh, they love it. So that's what is really rewarding too, you know, to be able to have this kind of event where it's not just limited to like one industry. They love that we do this. Of course, that it's free to attend. That's always a plus. A lot of the feedback has been that they've been able to find some candidates. This year, we've had a lot of feedback that we're going to be seeing lots of healthcare professionals to seek nurses, things of that sort. So healthcare is a big one this year.
In a job market that is as low as 2%, that's got to be hard on employers on finding enough employees, because it seems like just about everybody's got a job.
It is so hard right now. And I think that that's what a lot of people don't understand. With the unemployment rate being about 2% or a little bit less, we're having to pull people from other employers. That's hard in itself to think about, but also to have to, you know, see. There's not a lot of people unemployed right now.
Of course, this is to the advantage of those looking for a new career or a career change, because there is a lot of opportunity right now.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yep. This is a really, really good opportunity. So if you can, on June 14th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., come see us on the City Hall Civic Plaza.
How do you typically recommend that people dress for this type of event?
So with it being outside, I would say business casual, but not anything super hot, because it's likely to be pretty warm. You know, short sleeve, business casual is what I would recommend.
It's a relaxed environment. I know the employers who do come out there, they're typically not wearing three-piece suits or anything.
Oh, no. Not for this one. Not for this one. No, that won't be necessary.
So this is a good, more laid-back type of event. And I think that helps with the flow of conversation. When you have potential employees meeting with potential employers, they're able to carry on a better conversation.
That's very true. And we want the job seekers to come and feel comfortable and like they're able to talk to the employers that are present. That definitely helps the conversation go and people feel more comfortable to interview better.
Now, it may be too late for employers to get involved right now, but how do they get involved, like, let's say, for next year?
For future events, because we are at capacity right now, they can go to the city website under Human Resources and reach out to me, Alex Jones, or Frida Coldwell to register for next year's event. We do plan to continue to do this for years to come.
Those who are coming, I know you said bring a resume, but they should probably bring a few.
Definitely bring a few. Yep. Because with so many employers, you'll want to pass out those resumes to everybody that, of course, that you're interested in. You know, you may not want to stop at every table, but for the tables you do stop at, I would recommend you bring a resume.
Do a lot of the employers say, well, you need to fill the application out online, or are they still welcoming the written form of resumes?
I think that varies by employer. For City of Murfreesboro, we have online applications. On the spot, we have a QR code that takes you to our job website that you could quickly fill out an application. Some employers may bring paper copies of applications. That's likely. So I think that being prepared to do either or.
When making a career change, and maybe that career change is made on June 14th, but when making that change, I know a lot of people are looking for things like, does this employer offer insurance, and what other types of benefits are available? Are those things that people will be able to ask about on June 14th?
Absolutely. And I think that all employers will be happy to tell the job seekers what kind of benefits that they have. That's a very important piece to know before you take a job.
And again, about 30 or so employers will be out there at the June 14th Career Fair. And once more, this is on the Civic Plaza in front of the City Hall, which is at the intersection of Vine and South Church.
You got it. So we hope to see everybody there.
And then the best place to park, where will that be?
In the parking garage. If you're familiar with City Hall, we have two levels of parking. Park in either level, so that way you can stay as long as you're needed, because some of the parking on the square is like 2-hour parking. And depending on how well your conversations go, it may take a little bit of time.
And once more, this is June 14th on the Civic Plaza, 9 a.m. to 1 o'clock. Again, Alex Jones with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Again, the career fair will be on the Murfreesboro Civic Plaza, Friday, June 14th, between 9 a.m. and 1 o'clock.